What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 28th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pure one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
I didn't do the at today. Yeah, keeping on your toes. You never know what's going to happen. This is a very interesting shirt.
It is. Reptar.
Yeah, Reptar. I know. I enjoy it. I like it. Mm-hmm. You were upset, I think, when another fan wore this, right?
I wasn't upset. I was like happy that many fans. Sure. Actually, this was from a fan. A fan sent this to me.
Oh. Yeah. They're keeping it going.
My boy Will.
Yeah.
From Chicago.
We know Will.
Yeah.
Will goes to a lot of stuff.
He does.
Yep.
Is that Afro?
Yep.
He was featured in the Kinda Funny Live 2 intro.
It's true as well, man. Will, so good Will's
man.
Famous.
He's a good man.
Will, you're a good man. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every day. Actually, weekday. We jump into the nerdy video game news you need to know about, getting really dirty with it, discussing it with you, answering your questions, going through your bad PSN names and all that. If you like it, you can watch us record it live over at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, but we don't look at the chat. The only way to be part of the show is, of course, to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so at the end of the show we can correct all our mistakes and atone. You can also watch, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where we post it each and every day, or listen on podcast services of your choice. But remember, no matter where you get it, it would mean a lot if you went and rated us on the other platforms and subscribed there, even if you never intend to use it. Also, remember that over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames right now, a new Patapon Let's Play is up. It's me trying to show Kevin why you fucking millennials should like Patapon, because no one in the fucking goddamn Kinda Funny Slack wanted Patapon. Made me very upset. Remember, there's also going to be a Twitch stream, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, Monday morning, 9:30 Pacific time, before the Kinda Funny Morning Show, where I'll play some more Patapon with you, show you how much progress I've made over this weekend. But for now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. There's just like a melancholy. There's a melancholy to your dudes. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not doing a bad job. It's just like, it's not, you know.
He had it, and I just feel like it went on too long.
You never know with Kevin.
I don't know how long it's
It just goes as long as I was, you know, I just take no time rules. For some. No, there were ones on it. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, we've covered on this show all week how bad Pokemon Go Fest was, and now there's a lawsuit.
There's more.
I'm going to read the
IGN.
Can
this story just end?
No, it can't, because it has to, Niantic must be dragged through the streets and beaten to show how badly they fucked this up. I'm going to read IGN's story here. Following the disastrous events of last week's Pokemon Go Fest, a few dozen event attendees are banding together to sue developer Niantic, according to Thomas Zimmerman, the lawyer organizing the lawsuit. The attendees feel that Niantic did not provide the experience that was advertised and want reimbursement for travel and other expenses. As we, IGN, previously reported, Pokemon Go Fest was a bit of a mess. The game was unplayable for most attendees, prompting Niantic to offer ticket refunds and in-game credit as an apology. However, the attendees who created this lawsuit are seeking reparations for their other expenses as well. Quote, "We're not seeking any relief with respect to the failure to get legendary Pokemon because Niantic is offering that," Zimmerman told Polygon. "But Niantic is not offering to refund people's travel expenses for coming to Chicago. Most of the people came from out of state, many from other countries." Tim?
First off, no shit, they're not refunding people's travel accommodations. That doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you could sue anyone for anything.
Sure.
So the Zimmerman dude sounds like he's just like, all right, there's something here I can latch on to. I can get my name out there. I can definitely, you know, cause some shit, stir up some stuff.
Sure.
And I think that's exactly what's happening. I think this is not going to go much farther than this. I don't think they really have much of a leg to stand on. And I imagine the moment that this gets in front of any actual court, they're just going to be like, are you kidding me that you're wasting our time on this?
Here's what I would say. I mean, I'm not a legal expert, as I know. It's going to shock many of you out there. I think they have a little bit of a case in the way that, yeah, people went there for this experience and they had this intention and that didn't happen. And so, yeah, if I came from the UK, I'd be super pissed, or from another state or from another country.
But I think when it comes down to what actually was promised and what did they get and what didn't they get and how did they reimburse people and the fact that they reimbursed the actual ticket to the thing.
Sure.
Like, you're traveling, how long it took you to get somewhere, that has nothing to do with whether or not you bought a ticket to a show.
Yeah.
I feel like the extent to which that ends is you bought the ticket to the show. If they refunded the ticket to the show, which they did.
Yeah.
That's that.
My counterpoint to my own point or whatever, I think digging deeper, is I agree with you. I don't think this is going to go further. And I like your perspective on it because you are such a live event person. Whether, you know, like, are you traveling to your QN5? Did I get it?
Mm-hmm.
QN5. Yeah. Good. I always want QN5. Going there and seeing them and stuff. And then, of course, you are the, you know, the lifeblood behind Kinda Funny Live. I feel like there's a social contract, let alone a real contract in the fine print of every ticket you buy, right? Where this ticket is or isn't refundable, subject to change, all this different stuff. That's the contract you enter into, right? So if I, even if it, think of it this way, and it's happened a million times, right? I traveled from Florida to see Kanye West in New York, and he canceled that show.
Yeah.
That sucks. I get refunded for the ticket I bought from them, but not anybody else.
That has happened to me in a different way, where I bought a Kanye West ticket, and he canceled the show.
Yeah.
And I was super bummed. Luckily, I was only traveling to San Jose, so that wasn't that far. Sure. So I didn't need to make accommodations and stuff.
Yeah.
They refunded the ticket. That's the end of that story, right? But had somebody booked flights to go across the country and that were to happen, it is what it is.
That's a risk. Linkin
Park,
right?
Recently, and granted, it's a different scenario because it's a death. They just started a tour, had to cancel the tour. They have to regroup and figure out what they're doing and all that. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, I'm sure there was people that booked hotels and flights and entire trips around at certain dates and being at certain shows. You don't get refunded for that stuff.
Right.
Like, you just get refunded for the actual product that you're buying if you didn't get the right thing. And that's even up to them to decide. And they handled that, right? So again, you can attempt to sue anyone for anything.
Yeah. Well, what I think's interesting about it is I would venture to guess that there's already court precedent on this. This isn't the first thing that's ever been canceled or that's gone
poorly.
The whole
Fyre Festival situation.
Exactly. And so I think that what's interesting is the fact that they're arguing about they didn't provide the experience that was advertised. Not even so much that, all right, cool, you canceled your event, didn't work, I didn't get the Pokemon, blah, blah, blah. And like the fact that they call out, they know they've been reimbursed for the Pokemon. Mm-hmm. The experience that was advertised, which I guess is beyond just buying the ticket. They're saying, yeah, thank you, what's up, Bill? Where they're saying that you weren't running around with your friends, you weren't in these legendary raids, you weren't doing this stuff. It's flimsy as hell, don't get me wrong, but I wonder, number one, if it's just going to end up being settled out of court, because Niantic's like, just let's get fucking done with this, let's not go that far. If it is a hangers-on thing, or if, yeah, you'd fight this all the way through and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is such an example of a headline for the sake of being a headline, that this is, it's going to end up costing people more money than it's worth to deal with this. Whether it's Zimmerman having to spend money or Niantic having to spend money, that it's going to reach a point where it's like, it's easier to just spend a certain amount and shut people up.
Sure.
Than to move forward.
Right. And I guess that would be the thing too, is a class action suit. Zimmerman's gathering up these people. How many of those attendees are really going to go through the brouhaha of joining up with this to go do that?
Yeah.
It's like whenever you get those, like, you open
PSN
up your
things
or that, or you open up your mail and I'll get like a check for $7 because I'm in some class action lawsuit because way back in the day I worked at Walmart once and here you go.
Exactly.
One? Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like that will affect people. But even then, this is a much smaller thing, is how many people actually bought tickets to this, how many people are upset about it, how many people, you know, just keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Of course.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I feel like Niantic does have a leg to stand on to fight, because not everyone didn't get the advertised experience. Only some people didn't get the advertised experience.
Yeah.
They obviously refunded people based on that. Some people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting. But like I said, I do not think this is going to get much farther than this, because there's no way that it gets taken all the way through where Niantic actually loses this. And I feel like the only option when Niantic loses is if they just settle and fucking pay them to shut them up.
In which they will.
Which is very likely.
Yeah, just get it on, move on.
But I also think there's a chance that they don't, because it's going to start costing these people too much money for it to even be worth it.
Well, but do they see that? Will they know? You know, I mean, Thomas Zimmerman, right? And like, who knows? Maybe it's, you know, he gets a portion of the earnings at the end, one of those things. He's just a lawyer, so he's just collecting people. And if he's just doing the legwork, in the end, he hopes, you know, maybe it is. Maybe this is just one of those throwaway lawsuits. Who knows? Number two on the Roper Report. I filed this one under no duh, but I think it's interesting to discuss. I titled it, "When are Metroid Prime 4 and Pokemon Switch coming?" Because GameSpot put up an article that's basically like, whoa, Metroid Prime 4 might not be coming in 2018. To which I was like, did we ever really think that was going to happen? Following its most recent earnings call, Nintendo released a document of supplementary information that included a list of release dates for all the company's announced titles. Two of its E3 reveals, the new Yoshi and Kirby games, are still slated to launch next year, but the document lists Metroid Prime 4's release date as TBA. This doesn't necessarily preclude the game from being released in 2018, but it does cast some doubt on it. Additionally, the console's core Pokemon RPG is listed as 2018 or later, implying that it may slip out of the calendar year as well. This isn't entirely surprising, however, when the Pokemon company president announced the title during Nintendo's E3 presentation, it stated it may not release for a year or more. Did you're Mr. Nintendo, and I know Pokemon, I remember that being quoted, but like, did you think Metroid Prime 4 was coming?
So what's interesting about this is it's kind of confusing because I saw the documents that they're talking about, and there was different ones for North America and Japan, and a lot of the dates are kind of mismatched and weird and say different things. Mm-hmm. So that gets a little bit confusing. An example is Mario Cross Rabbit or Mario Plus Rabbids
Kingdom Battle.
Isn't coming out in Japan until next year, until 2018.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. We're getting it here. And we're how things month, are labeled, whether it's first party or third party, it differs between the territories. So with this, there is some weird wishy-washy things of dates, or at least time frames. In addition to that, there's a Fire Emblem game that they didn't add here that is 2018.
Okay.
So they're starting to stack up there. It's pretty much once a month there is a game coming out from now till January. And then after that, it's just ambiguous 2018 dates for Kirby, Yoshi, and Fire Emblem. When it comes to Pokemon and Metroid, at E3, all that we got, when the Metroid trailer played, it didn't say 2018 in it, did it? I don't think so.
No, God, no.
Yeah,
no.
It's just a Metroid Prime 4 and it on the
and
logo.
And it was that thing of like, we're working on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that game's at least two years away.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's coming in 2018, but I don't think that's... I don't think that there's no chance. And I mean, it's complicated. We still don't really know the exact team working on it.
I bet they don't either.
But I mean, but they might, though. Like, that's the thing is, Nintendo's weird when it comes to its internal teams and what they've been doing. And with the Wii U having been what it was, like, these teams are working on something. Retro's been working on something.
Okay.
And if it's not Metroid Prime 4, how close is Retro's game and how close is Metroid Prime? Like, we don't know the level of completion. Yeah, for the trailer, we just saw an image. It might be a lot more done than we think, or it might be just as incomplete as we imagine it
is. Yeah.
So I don't know, but yeah, I would not expect it in 2018 at all. I just think that it's like, all right, it's going to come. Pokemon's where it gets more interesting to me, that the fact that they say 2018 or later, because when they announced Pokemon in the E3 briefing, that seemed even more incomplete to me. Mm-hmm. Well, that was just him saying, yeah, there's going to be a mainline Pokemon RPG, period.
Yeah.
In the coming years. So the fact that that 2018 is even in that conversation, it's like, oh crap, that sounds like that's a goal for them then, at least in Japan.
Sure.
So...
do you think that speaks to it being not a giant step in terms of Pokemon? It is in, not up-res, but it is the Pokemon game we already know and some love.
Many love. I don't imagine that the Switch Pokemon mainline game is going to be drastically different. Mm. I do think it's going to be a huge step forward in terms of scope and graphics and how busy the world is, but I don't think it's going to be a different type of game. I don't think it's going to be an MMO. I don't think it's going to be, I think it's still going to follow the structure of a Pokemon game, right? So I don't think that it necessarily, especially coming off the 3DS ones, the 3DS Pokemon games are already such a step above even the DS games, going from 2D to 3D, that I imagine the Switch is going to be just an iteration on the 3DS games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that the 2018 it would be crazy, but I don't see it happening either. But at least in America, in Japan, I can see it coming out. But with Metroid, I don't think it's coming in 2018. But I think it's possible. I don't. Nintendo's in such a weird place right now with the Switch and with how well it's selling. A couple of days ago, you talked about the numbers.
Yeah,
those numbers are blowing my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I think a very important thing to look at is ARMS. ARMS sold over 1 million units.
What was it, 1.6, 1.8? I forgot.
It was 1.2.
Okay.
But
kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong.
But that was just limited based on how long it's been out and what didn't count the full month of it.
Yeah.
That is very, very, very impressive.
Like 2 weeks
for a new IP
that's like
on a brand new system that is niche, niche. It's a fighting game in a world where there's fighting games coming out left and right. And it's another multiplayer game on a system that pretty much exclusively has multiplayer games, with Zelda being the exception. So for it to sell that well, that is a sign to Nintendo that their strategy is working.
Right.
Put out one game, let's focus on it. Even Capcom put out the 1 month that Nintendo's had that didn't have a first party game, a big one, was May. And they just totally missed it. And May had Ultra Street Fighter II, the new challenge or the final challengers or whatever the fuck it was, which was the biggest cash grab in the Switch's history thus far.
Yeah,
where they took a 5-year-old PSN XBLA game, added a shitty motion control option, and sold it for a full price that was more than it ever cost before. Like, just ridiculous. Even that, Capcom yesterday came out and said sold super well. estimates put it at about 500,000. Wow. 500,000 for what I just described is insane. People want to buy games. People want to play games on the Switch. Yeah, it's almost a joke at this point when people tweet out, man, this game would be perfect on the Switch. Oh, I wish this was on the Switch. Everything, every fucking game now is like, for some reason, people would say it's perfect on the Switch. Sure. People want to play games on this system. And seeing these games month after month sell as well as they are, I am so stoked that I think this means we might actually get F-Zero. We might actually get another shot at Star Fox that they don't fuck up. Like, I think that Nintendo's like, oh shit, if we treat things with care and we make every game once a month an event, we can keep this shit rolling and we can bring back Pilot Wings. We can bring back Wave Race. We can bring back Luigi's Mansion. Like, these
hell
games that
fucking
people,
yeah, Captain bring Toad. Toad like, never went away. Captain Toad never went away in this treasure tracker.
I'm excited about it. And I think it's very good for a healthy Nintendo to exist. And I think that they have a very good strategy going right now.
You talk about Capcom and what the success they saw. Do you see, or do you think you'll see other third-party publishers jumping in here and actually trying to do stuff?
I mean, I think that this Capcom thing is definitely an early indicator that third-party games can perform well and make it worth it to make games for the Switch.
Yeah.
However, how I describe Street Fighter says a lot.
Yeah.
That didn't require too much work.
Yeah.
So it being a success is very relative to the conditions under which that game was made. What does this mean? Do I think we'll see Resident Evil 4 come to the Switch at some point? Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, mm-hmm. That's what I kind of think is going to happen a bit more. I think that Mario and Rabbids, like, depending on the success of that game, which...
Let's play going up. Let's just... /...
You know, let's put on our fucking psychic thing and look into the crystal ball. It's going to do well.
Yeah.
You know, I think with more things like that, and granted, that is a partnership with Mario, so it's a little bit...
Yeah, skewed.
Skewed, but that's still a third-party game.
Yeah.
I hope that would
also open the eyes of other publishers. Of like, absolutely. Oh, well, Nintendo's playing nice. Where could we fit in these new characters?
And Nintendo, with the numbers we've seen, with what they're talking about upping the production and trying to get... Their original plan was 10 million out in the wild by next March, which is the fiscal year. Now they're trying to get 14 million total. We're getting to sizable amounts. Like, that's real numbers that you can put a game out on. And when you go back to the original question about Metroid... They can put out Metroid at any time. It's going to sell what it's going to sell, right?
Yeah.
Pokemon is a different story. Pokemon, they should hold on as long as possible until they have the maximum amount of systems out in the wild, because they're going to sell, for every system that exists, I think 3/4 of them are going to buy Pokemon.
And it's a system seller as well,
and
right?
And it is a system seller. So, like, by the time this mainline Pokemon game comes out, that system, the Switch needs to be out of its production slump.
Yeah.
And it needs to be readily available for the people that want to buy it. So it's going to be an interesting time.
Okay. While we're in this Nintendo deluge, I want to jump over to John Boy, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with a big old question for big old Timmy. He says, is the new Nintendo 2DS XL a good investment? I've never had a DS before. My son is 2 and I want to get him into games with Nintendo like I did as a child. I also would like to have a handheld to play during the small breaks I have as a dad/full-time worker. But then there's the Switch. It has less games and costs about twice as much. Would I be stupid to buy this new DS, or should I just bite the bullet and go with the Switch? Which would be the better investment given my scenario? John Boy, what do you feel?
It's interesting. I don't like the Nintendo 2DS, the new Nintendo 2DS. Uh-huh. I feel like it feels cheap, and the shoulder buttons are blocked by the hinge.
Yeah, we did a games cast
where I talked about it, and that really bothers me. Having said that, it is a great system. Like, there's a vast library of games at this point that if you haven't ever had a DS, like, there's a lot to get into there, both from the DS family and the 3DS family. So that's great. However, the Switch is the future. The Switch is not something that Nintendo's going to give up on based on everything I just said. It has a very vibrant and amazing future coming up. And you being a dad and wanting to play with your kid and all that, I think that it would be a very wise investment to get the Switch, get yourself a Switch, so that you guys can play together. Because the Switch brings people together. We've seen it, and it makes us all want to play multiplayer games. When I see one of you guys playing, I have that thought of, like, should I bust mine out right now?
Yeah.
Like, can we play really quick, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Seeing Kevin go from Zelda to Mario Kart to Splatoon, it's like, this is Kevin we're talking about. You know, like, that's
he sucks.
It's cool
that
the Switch is you know, making people want to play games more and
sure
go out of their comfort zone, like playing Splatoon.
For me personally, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer to go for the Switch. I mean, I understand my son is 2 and I want to get him into games with Nintendo like I did as a child. Well, then I think Mario Odyssey looks pretty awesome. That seems like a great place to start with. Hey, this is Mario and let's play. Eventually, Virtual Console will come to it and you'll be able to play the classics. Granted, you can do that on 3DS now, but who cares? You could also get the NES Classic, the SNES Classic. There's a million different ways if you want to give those experiences right now. I mean, he's 2. I don't think that's where his motor skills are yet, but I'm no doctor of children.
But Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's there. And like you're saying, like, I mean, snipper clips, like breaking off those 2 controllers and sitting there playing. And then for you, you want a handheld as a father to play on your, you know, between on your breaks of being a dad or being a full-time worker. Yeah, the Switch is perfect for that.
The answer.
That's what it is. Get the Switch. It goes both ways. Number 3, let's jump to the land of PlayStation. Specifically, PlayStation's across the pond. PlayStation Plus prices are going up over in Australia and Europe. Starting August 31st, the annual PlayStation Plus subscription will cost 50 euros. No, what's the L? No, £50, €60, and $80 Australian. That's an increase, respectively, of 10, 10, and 10. Quarterly memberships are going up by 5, 5, and 6. So it'd be a new price of £20, €25, and then $34 Australian. Monthly memberships currently cost £6, €7, $10 Australian. Will go up 7, 8, and 11. A lot of people freaked out about what does this mean for the U.S. It's important to point out that the U.S. increased their prices September of 2016. Right now it's $60 for 12 months, $25 for 3 months. So jumping back there, annual prescription. I mean, it's negligible. It's right there in the same thing, right? So pounds, 50, €60, and 80 Australian versus 60 here in America. But Alex wrote in, and a lot of you wrote in about this. I put Alex's down because I was like, oh man, people aren't that mad about it. And then all the rest of the responses were mad. But they were all kind of saying the same thing. But Alex is not representative of the group. Alex writes in and says, well, first off, he wrote in kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. Says, hey, happy Friday, Greg and Tim. Grim. I got an email today telling me that my PlayStation Plus membership is increasing in price. And then he goes back to being pounds. So $39.99 to $49.99 annually in the UK. This doesn't really bother me. I'm still planning on enjoying the online play and PlayStation Plus free games each month. But I wonder if you think this might mean that there'll be anything new for PlayStation Plus users in the near future. Could it be integrating PS Now services as Danny and Greg were discussing in the previous podcast? Could we be getting free PlayStation VR games as part of our monthly games? Or could we be paying extra to finally be able to change our names? Or maybe, do they not need to do anything differently because this is just online what online services need to cost these days? Love all you do, kind of funny team, Alex. That Alex hits on what a lot of people were upset about. It's going up in price, and most of the responses were, okay, I don't like paying more, but okay. The main thing was like, why? There was no explanation. There's no statement. One of the questions was talking about the fact that you go to the PlayStation UK Twitter, you go to the PlayStation blog over there. It was buried on the blog. It wasn't that there was no, hey, everybody, we're increasing this because of this. And even if, and so many people were like, similar to what you're saying, or to what Alex said, maybe do they not need to do anything differently because this is just what online services need to cost these days. That also is an okay statement. I feel like this was not a huge bungle, but it's definitely like, we lost the message here. Like, hey, your things are going up. Because we have gone and through and it actually cost more for us to do this than we thought it did. Because we're going to add something. Because like when you don't give anybody a reason, they get really angry.
Yeah, I mean, him asking like, do we think that this means that there's something in the future that's going to be added? The answer is no to that. I mean, of course, something will be added eventually. But if they had something, they would have waited to be able to say, it's going up because of this thing, which makes it sound worth it. And it definitely
we're including it. PlayStation Now in there, so now we're going to go up $10 or whatever.
The compliment sandwich, but like in a different way. I forgot what the business term for it is, but that's what it means.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to like pack the bad with some good.
Right.
And I feel like the answer is just like, this is what, not even that it does cost these days, but it's what it could cost these days.
Yeah.
They've done market research, I'm sure, and they realized that, hey, we can get more money out of these people if we do this, so let's do it.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you that they fucked up the message because this could have went over a bit better.
I think it's a very simple message of, hey, we are increasing it. And like, to what you're saying, I'm sure part of it is we can get more. There's got to be some other thing in there just of like, it is the, what is the profit they're making off of PlayStation Plus? And clearly they must have seen that go down. And maybe it is the idea of, you know, so many people do complain about the quality of PlayStation Plus games, this, that, and the other. Maybe some of the recent titles have cost more. Maybe the landscape has shifted, right? PlayStation Plus has been around many years now. I remember when Colin and I were doing this at IGN, the original breakdown, and I was making, I think, bitmap images or whatever to put into articles. Like, it's been around a long time. So clearly the industry has shifted landscapes. Maybe indies and whoever else, third parties, are just seeing in general that they can get more for their game. So why do that? You need to pay out more.
Yeah.
I think that's what, I think it just comes down to that profit margin. And again, I think that's okay to say. I think it's a better thing to say. Like, PlayStation's doing that thing again that I don't like, where, and now granted, this is PlayStation International. Well, PlayStation is a company, and I've talked about this before, so I won't beat it at horse, but PlayStation 4, PlayStation was so humble and so, we are a big company, but we're Shu and we're Adam and we're making a fun video and we're doing this and we're talking to gamers about games, and here's Mark Cerny to talk your ear off about this, and it's going to be great. And then they started going back towards PlayStation 3 gamers of like, no, no, we're a corporation and we're buttoned up and the games will speak for themselves and we won't put personalities out there. And I don't like seeing that happen. And not that this is like the grandest case of it, but it is just like,
it's an example of it trickled down all the way of not seeing Shu on stage.
Yeah.
Because of that, that means that information like this is put out the way that it is.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if something this small is not going to be important, why would anything else bigger be important? You know, the opposite of that.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. It's just one of those things like this. We're going up because server costs have cost more, games are costing more, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, then you're going to get people, oh, cry me a river, PlayStation, you sold X million units and blah, blah, blah. And there was a guy in here who was like trying to do the math on how much money they've made off PlayStation 4. It's like, well, it's not that easy, but still, I think that's a better thing to have of people, oh, cry me a river. And somebody's like, well, I'm paying for this content. I understand. But it is the point. I'm sure that this is what market research showed would get the profit margins up and cause, or would do the least of people canceling.
Yeah.
Because this is the whole thing of like, it's people looking at like, oh, that's annoying. And it's like, well, when it automatically renews, I won't care. Or I don't even see this anywhere and it just automatically renews and whatever. And that's why it's buried on the PlayStation blog. And that's why it's not being shouted from the rooftops, because they want you to know, they want the information out there, but they don't want you to think enough to actually go cancel it.
Mm.
Final item on the Roper Report for this week. Dragon Quest VI, Echoes of an Elusive Age is coming to the West.
11.
I'm an idiot. You're right. Dragon Quest 11, sorry, Echoes of the Elusive Age, coming West. This is according to the franchise creator in a YouTube video. It's going to be sometime in 2018. Localization work has already begun. It's going to be 5 languages. And then, yeah, PlayStation 4 and 3DS are out in Japan this week. Switch is going to be eventually. Tim, what's your take?
Colin Moriarty's super stoked somewhere.
somewhere in Santa Monica.
Yeah, no. Dragon Quest, a franchise I absolutely missed out on. I was a Final Fantasy guy. Huge deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
This coming West is one of those examples of Nintendo trying to give the people what they want.
Yeah.
How many people are there? I don't know. I'm interested in seeing this. I wonder how well it sells in North America, because these are the type of games that, you know, there's a group of people that are super passionate and are yelling for, and they're like, you know, get it over here, get it over here, get it over here. But it's like, is that group 100,000 people?
Yeah.
Is that worth the trouble of doing all this and getting it late and all this? I'm not sure. It must be, because it's one of those, keep doing it eventually. But
I feel like with me now being invested so much in the Switch and all this different stuff and how much I've heard about Dragon Quest, I remember when at IGN, when the last, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you might not be the guy for it, the last, I want to say, real Dragon Quest came out that was like traditional, and like Charles Onyet was so excited, like, I'd put this on the Switch and kick around and see what's up.
I'm pretty sure that's this one.
Okay. Oh, wait, what?
I definitely could be wrong about this.
Well, I'm talking about the last one that came to America. Dragon Quest X
was the one that was the online.
Yeah, like, that was the one that was fake. I remember Colin always being upset about that one. Then they had Builders.
Dragon Quest
VIII
was definitely a traditional one.
Okay.
We're at a point where I'm just fucking talking at my ass, though. Dragon Quest IX.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, for whatever reason, the last time a mainline, this is what Dragon Quest is game came to the States, it was on a platform I didn't care about, and I was busy with something else. Mm. And now I feel like it's similar to what we always talk about with Uncharted 2 or anything like that when the sequel comes out, and I expect it to do so much better. There's enough goodwill out there for Dragon Quest that I pop in and try it.
Mm.
Kazuma wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. It says Dragon Quest 11 has just been announced for the West for a 2018 release, and I could not possibly more excited. Dragon Quest is considered to be one of the most popular RPG franchises in Japan, with every entry over there selling millions of copies. With the more recent releases of critically acclaimed Japanese games in the West, like Persona 5, Nier Automata, Final Fantasy 15, Tales of Berseria, Yakuza 0, are JRPGs finally making a slow but sure resurgence in the West. What was once a well-revered genre in the West quickly fell to the wayside in the previous console generation due to the limited amount of quality console JRPG releases. Are things starting to change for the better, Tim?
I don't think so. I think this goes back to what I was saying earlier, where I feel like there is a very loud group. And I think that critically, these games are doing really well. They're selling better than expected in a lot of ways. Some of them. I mean, Final Fantasy is kind of the standout here because of what that franchise is and how it's marketed and how, you know, that whole story.
Yeah.
But then you look at things like Nier and Tales and Yakuza 0. It's like they do very well, better than expected. But they're not like when people think mainstream, it's like what are the video games right now? These games aren't brought up, right? When people start talking about what's going on, it's the Switch games right now, it's the Steam games, it's,
I mean, I would definitely argue that Persona's brought up. And maybe it's just the echo chamber of who we all are.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think that there was a resurgence in quality Japanese games that people in the West are excited about, but I think those people are us. It's the uses. It is the echo chamber of games journalism that are like, oh man, but you know, these are great.
Persona
are great.
Did what, a little over 1 million, I think it was the last thing I saw. I think the one interesting thing about his points here is he's talking about, like, you know, selling all these copies, blah, 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 and then he's got, are they making a slow but sure resurgence in the West? What once was a well-revered genre in the West quickly fell to the wayside the previous generation. I agree that last generation was weird and a switch over to Western things, but Final Fantasy 15 is just finally out. That's been in production forever. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons it matters. Persona means more based on the success of Persona 4 Golden last time around, but Persona is a thing that's been around forever. Yakuza 0 isn't a JRPG.
Neither's Nier.
And Yakuza's been around, and so we'll just limit it to Japanese games. But Yakuza games have been around forever. Tales of Berseria, sure, but Tales games have been around forever and popular here. And I think it's Tales from, with all due respect to Tales fans, I don't think Tales of Berseria was a breakout one. I didn't hear more people talking about that than the usual Tales fans.
But I think what he's saying, though, is more recent releases of critically acclaimed Japanese games. Mm-hmm. The last couple Tales games have not been critically acclaimed.
Gotcha.
People are liking Berseria, and you know, Nier wasn't reviewed well.
Fair
Nier
point.
Automata
Fair
is
point.
Reviewed very well. So
my apologies, I dialed back. You're right. You're 100%.
But I think that's what I'm talking about. So it's like if you were to compare Mass Effect and its sales to these things,
yeah,
right. There's a difference there. There's a disconnect there, and I think that, like, back in the day, comparing, it's like a Final Fantasy VII, where it's like that was the Mass Effect back then. Do you get my point?
No, I hear you.
So it's like they're still there, but I don't think that they're rising up to still be this, like,
but do you
huge
think it's a
pillar.
Resurgence? I think it's a resurgence based on where they were last console generation, the Japanese gaming market at least.
I just think it's, again, it just, they're critically better. They're better games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's what it is that right now there are better Japanese games than there were last generation.
That's fair too.
I think that the quality of the Western games has stayed fairly consistent for better or worse.
Sure. Yeah.
There's not really standouts, whereas these are standout games. Well, not all of them, but you know, Nier is a standout. Persona is a standout. So
yeah,
like that's, I just think that the quality is what matters the most when it comes to these Japanese games, because I feel like the modern gamer is not thinking about video games as being a Japanese thing in the way that
we did.
Absolutely. We did growing up with Nintendo, Super Nintendo, or, you know, I guess, and then PlayStation 2, right? PlayStation 3 is when Western really came in. And again, it was the Western RPG that changed that. So
yeah. Yeah, so I guess my change for the better, I think, I'm with you. I think it just strikes me that this is all just ebbs and flows, right? These are all just the way the industry works, and that Japan was so high for so long, and then, yeah, West came up last generation, and I think now you're seeing them both. Like, I think maybe it is even that Japan got written off. Remember when even Inafune was like, nobody's doing anything interesting over here. I don't want to, you know, and it was like, damn, that's crazy you said that, but there are interesting ideas at least getting published.
Yeah, I mean, again, looking back on it, like, for these franchises, like Final Fantasy, like 13 did not review well. It wasn't critically acclaimed. It sold good, you know, not even better than good.
Mm-hmm.
They made a trilogy out of it. It had to have sold enough for them to make three of them.
Old lightning.
Know? And then Final Fantasy 14 came out and was a failure. And then over time, it became
they rebooted.
Became critically acclaimed. So
interesting. A loaded question. Good job, Kazuma. Tim? If I want to know what was in mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily host each and every weekday.
Do
Is that my part?
No.
What am I supposed to do?
You did it. You nailed it. Okay. And then I do so the little jingle, and then I just read it. Yeah. Well, no, like Andrew and Danny are trying to memorize it.
Okay.
But they keep... They you know, yeah. They're doing their best.
Okay.
I'm not going to bust balls anymore from here on out about it. Out today, ladies and gentlemen, Super Cloud built on Xbox One. Hey, Pikmin on 3DS. Mm. Miitopia on 3DS. Mm. Sundered on PlayStation 4 and PC, which is a roguelite. It looks interesting. It's getting like 8s and 7s for reviews. I think I might try to kick the tires on this weekend, but I got Patapon, so who the fuck knows? Namco Museum on Switch, Collar Cross Malice PS4, Constructor on PlayStation 4, It's Spring Again on Vita, Rugby League Live on Rugby League Live 4 on PlayStation 4, Cyber Complex on Xbox One, and Syndrome on Xbox One. Meanwhile, new dates for you. Monster Hunter World will release by March 2018, according to Capcom's financial thing. They put it out. They said it'll be done by the fiscal year, which would be March 2018.
That's the PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
Monster Hunter?
Yeah, game? The one they announced, City 3 or whatever. And then our friend Dan Edelman's game, Mages of Mistralia, August 22nd, I believe on PlayStation 4. I don't know what that means for PC or Xbox One. The blog had it up, so I'm not sure. I don't even know if it's announced for those platforms, of course, because I'm in the tank for Sony. But.
Boom.
Boom. Deals of the day. I wrote a bunch, and then Emmett Watkins Jr. wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to take over the segment, and I just deleted everything I wrote and let him do it. Emmett Watkins Jr. says, just a PSA for shooter fans. This weekend is going to be big for fans of Doom, Titanfall 2, Overwatch, and Lawbreakers. Doom is having a free/double XP weekend on PlayStation 4 with all of its multiplayer, including its new 6.66 update and 2 campaign missions free. You like that? The full game is also $15 this weekend on PSN, so that's mirroring what happened last weekend with Xbox One. Titanfall 2 is having a free double XP weekend with 2 campaign missions and all multiplayer, including its new 4-player co-op mode, free to try. The full game is also $20 till Tuesday. In Overwatch, Doomfist is finally live on consoles, and Lawbreakers open beta is live this weekend on PC and PlayStation 4.
Well, thank you.
Good job. Emmett. Yeah, he got. Yeah, I didn't have the Titanfall or Overwatch updates in there, so I was like, you know what? You get it. Circle gets the square, as they say. Yeah, you remember when they say that?
I do.
Tim, it's time for reader mail.
Oh God, this scares me.
We're starting off. Yeah, Nerd Fuck. XP. Don't stop looking. Don't look ahead. Nerd XP, EXP actually, but Nerd Experience writes in and wants us to clear our mind. All right, and I thought this was a good palate cleanser as we move in answering those questions. You ready, Tim? Hey, Greg, in the ever rotating second chair again. Nerd EXP, you are lazy. I said Tim would be on this episode. Tim's on Monday's episode too, right? Or is it Andrew?
No, I'm not.
Andrew's on Monday's episode. So there you go. Hey, Greg and Tim, can we play a game of which is better? Number one, Super Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario World? Thing. Clear your mind!
Here's the thing, Greg. I'm just letting people know. At some point, this is going to be a segment on Gamescast that we just do with guests.
Yeah, no, I like this one a lot.
This is really fucking great.
Good job, Nerdy XP.
What was the first
one? Super Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario World? It's Super Mario World. There's no debate.
No, there is a debate. Fuck you. Now, Greg, let me tell you. This has been something I've been working on a tweet.
Okay.
I know that sounds like a weird thing to say.
I know you really well.
I should probably just tweet it.
It's not weird.
But I've been thinking about it, and I just haven't actually done it. 28 years of my life.
Uh-huh.
28 years, Greg. And I think I finally realized that Super Mario Brothers 3 is better than World.
You're a fucking idiot.
And I am a fucking World guy.
You're an idiot.
World, I want to play the hell. I want 100% both of them for the millionth time.
Sure.
And do a real in-depth look at trying to decide. But when I think about it, like, Worlds just has some issues that 3 doesn't, and 3 just has so much good, so much just distinct level design, and the levels are short but memorable.
Yeah.
World, it gets a little samey in a lot of parts, and like there's a lot of boss fights that just aren't as solid. I don't know. There's some issues. But again, this is hard. It's like picking your favorite kid.
You just pick it in the Super Mario World.
But then when they're both successful kids, like they're both like cool kids, it's not like the third kid.
You know what I mean? Like Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Uncharted 2 or Uncharted 4?
Oh, man. I think I have to go 4.
Yeah, me too. But back to that argument I always make about the Uncharted games and similar games, like it is like, it's cheating. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as we go, and this is what we always made the argument about with Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3, right? If Uncharted 3 had come before Uncharted 2.
It's a wrong argument, but.
Whatever. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Maybe if I changed, would have given Uncharted 2 a 10, like it deserved as well. Anyways, but it's like Uncharted 4 is the payoff to all those games. Maybe if it was standalone,
I think
I feel
even
like
more
I
than that,
Uncharted
I think
4.
Standalone just, it is solid. It's really fucking solid. Yeah. It's very well paced.
Mega Man 2 or Mega Man 3?
2.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Soundtrack alone.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, 2. 3 is so great. Oh, man. It is hard. That is hard, but I think 2.
Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil 4?
Oh,
Resident Evil 4. Yeah, four, okay. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Although 2 is... I love 2.
Tank Control sucked.
But that's true. But yeah. I love... Resident Evil 2 is what Resident Evil should be. Zombies in a city. Characters you care about.
Sure.
That is Resident Evil at its fucking core. So I love that. But yeah, no, 4 is fucking one of the best games of all time.
A Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time?
Oh, Link to the Past.
Ocarina of Time,
that's
man.
So easy. Have you beat A Link to the Past?
No.
Yeah, A Link to the Past is, I think, the easy answer.
Yeah.
I love Ocarina, but I think Ocarina has been absolutely beat with...
Link to the Past.
Well, I mean, with Link to the Past, but even in 3D times, like... Ocarina of Time was so fucking amazing for when it came out. And yeah. I mean, it still is amazing. Still is fucking amazing. But I mean, Wind Waker has faults, which I can't say make it better than Ocarina. But yeah. I see it. I'm like, oh, that you can improve upon certain aspects of it. So it's like, Ocarina is probably not even in my top three.
You're Zeldas. Crazy. You're crazy.
Especially now that Breath of the Wild came out, which beat Link to the Past, which I can't believe.
Mm-mm. Ocarina is still at the top of my list. But again, I came to the game late. And then number 6, E.T. or Superman 64? Superman 64. Garbage ass Atari games.
Yeah.
At least Superman 64 had flying and fog. Thanks for being awesome each and every day, even the weekends when you aren't recording.
That was stressful.
Nerd EXP. Thank you, Nerd EXP. That was a good one. Zach W. Carpenter wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, has anyone else noticed that Sony is highlighting game developers on the PSN? This week, there was a page focused on Tim Schafer and the games he is well known for. Further, it then suggested games that are similar to Tim's style that people could possibly or would possibly want to purchase. Is this a sign that Sony is starting to wake up and have better curation on their store? Thanks for all you do, Zach W. Carpenter. I saw that. They had a few different people up there picking their games. You could go and jump in and click on their scene and see what Tim's recommended, whoever's recommended. It's a cool idea. I mean, I don't know if it's them starting to wake up or if it's just a nice idea. I'd love to see more of it. I'd love to see it go. But it's also like promoting is weird because I know I saw it in the PlayStation Store, I thought, a couple weeks ago, and then the blog just put up a post from Tim about it, which was interesting. But I love that kind of stuff. I think they should reach out to like personalities like us and IGN and all those people and be like, here's Brian Altano's things. And like, yeah. Why not? You know, I mean, they have all the verified users now on PSN. They admit that there's bigger user base, right, that it's bigger than just PlayStation. I think they should reach out and do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And there's no bad with that.
It'd be a great way, too, of... promoting PlayStation Now too. If it was, here's my things, and like you can get this one to play right now on your PlayStation 4 through PlayStation Now.
Cool.
But that's me putting on my business hat. Alex King writes in with something so many of you have written in about, so he's gonna get all the credit, but this question gets added every day. It's never been read before. Alex King says, you have talked a lot about people sleeping on Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, but I submit that everyone is even more so sleeping on Hellblade. Hellblade comes out August 8th by an independent studio doing something truly big and new. It's a PS4 and PC, I believe, exclusive that has a new trailer to date. What are your thoughts on this game? What are your thoughts on why this game isn't getting more attention and how games like this, independent and single player, can gain more buzz, which multiplayer games gain by allowing early access to them like PUBG? Tim, does Hellblade do anything for you?
I am looking up the trailer right now
Okay. Because
it sounds familiar and I remember being excited about it.
You want me to give you the rundown on
it? Oh, it's Heavenly Sword.
Exactly.
Yes.
This is Ninja Theory, the people who did Heavenly Sword, the people who did Enslave, the people who did DMC, coming out with this new one, Hellblade, that obviously is a play on Heavenly Sword. It is that exactly what you think. Single player, action combat, running through, slicing stuff up. There's this weird, you can see text and like use this weird little system to do stuff. It looks cool when you see it. It also looks, don't punch me in the face, a little generic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, here's this action guy doing it. I think it's not getting as much credit building up for it, and I would assume because I haven't seen previews for it. I haven't seen people out there playing it. And I think Nier fucking destroyed that when they came out, right? Everybody knew when Nier was coming. And granted, coming from Square Enix, a different publisher, everybody knew Nier was coming. That's the action game people were talking about. People were talking about Neo. There was all these different things. I'm not saying we've had our fill of, hey, here's this action-y game that looks hard and kind of has a Souls vibe to it, because that's what some of the combat looks like. It is action. It's more action. I'm not saying it is Souls. Yeah.
Neo, Nier, different games.
Yeah.
One's more Dark Souls. One's more...
Exactly. But I, you know what I'm saying? That if you had those itches, I feel like they've been scratched.
Yeah. I also feel like those are the type of itches that are never fully scratched, right? Like those players want those type of games on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. I mean, it excites me. I also like the idea that it's a smaller title, like, because some of those games get a little bit long in the tooth. So the idea of it being, I remember last time we were talking about it, I think it was like a 7-hour experience. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck
totally,
yeah.
Totally into that.
You all about that one?
That sounds great. I'm excited for it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to look. I'm gonna be interested to see what the reviews say about it.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, the reviews are really going to be telling on whether or not I'm actually interested in playing this game.
Today we're doing Kind of Funny Games Cast. Topic of the show is, what are we playing the rest of the year?
Yeah.
And I assembled my spreadsheet of everything I want to play. And we're at that point where it's like, if the review's like, it's all right, I don't have time for it. Like, I just don't have time. There's too much shit playing right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're a patreon.com/kindoffunny person, you can watch us record the Games Cast live today. And if you're not, I'm going to watch it live. We're sorry. It's going to be up a little bit late for Patreon people. Just how the cards shook out this week. Let's see. Where do I want to go when I got another question? Final question of the week comes from at analexander50. It's Alexander, but he puts at the... It's Alexander. Today, a post from PUBG subreddit made it to the front page. A player was banned for 7 days after being accused of stream sniping, i.e. screen watching a popular streamer. What's your stance on stream sniping? Is it just a risk streamers have to deal with a part of their trade, or should it be a bannable offense? And then he puts the source in there. This is a developing thing before we came on here. I think I finally saw it pop on Kotaku or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows if he really got banned for that reason. The subreddit post was, hey, my friend got banned after he killed this guy, after saying he was a fan, and then he had links out to the videos of how it all happened. We're not getting into the weeds of that, but in general, stream sniping sucks.
It does suck, but I think it's weird of it being a bannable offense.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like, cheating.
But I mean, it's out there, right? Like, there's, I don't know. I guess the cheating aspect makes it interesting. I feel like when you're just playing online, it's not like it's a, oh man, you know what? My whole argument's falling apart as I'm trying to make it. Like, if it was like a organized event, like this is like esports, then it's just like, yeah, of course not. But when you're just playing at home or whatever, like, why does it matter? But then as I say that, it's like, well, people are ranking up and there are levels. Yeah. There is a competitiveness to that you have an unfair advantage if you're doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the thing of, the problem is, and I think what you're going to find with this Reddit thing is, how do you prove that's what happened? You know what I mean? That's the issue about it. Where to bring it, of course, to possibly game of the year. A lot of people are putting buzz around it. Friday the 13th. Over on the Friday the 13th subreddit the other day, some kid posted a PSN conversation he was having with somebody who was like, you know, it was somebody who was being a dick to him in the game. I guess they already had bad blood. And so then he's like, I just PSN messaged Jason to tell him where you're at. He's going to come fucking kill you. He's like, oh, I'm going to fucking report you for screen sniping. Like, you know, he's like, oh, I was just kidding. It's like, that would make me really upset. Like, part of that we want to do a Friday the 13th party mode, right? And like, I was racking my brain of a way to figure out how, because we all have to be in the same room. I want to be Jason. You're all in the other room, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how can I do it where you guys can't talk to each other? Like, unless you have the walkie-talkies. Because part of that game is, I have the walkie-talkie or I have the perk for the walkie-talkie, blah, blah, blah. Because otherwise you're all going to be like, I have this, I have that, go there, do this. And it's like, it makes the game so much easier than when you are just running around fucking around. For games like PUBG, for games like Friday the 13th, for anything that's competitive where there is an element of we're going to camp, we're going to do that. Yeah, this is fucking bullshit. It breaks the game. It breaks the experience. But how do you fucking prove that? I don't know. Unless somebody else is running and you're being stream sniped by someone who else is streaming so that you can see in their chat that they're like, I'm going to go watch his stream and go do this. Huh?
Yeah, no, oh, man. It's
complicated.
It's icky.
Yeah, it's very icky. Just don't do it.
Don't
be
do
nice
it.
People, all right? Can't everybody be nice? Tim?
Yes.
It's time to squad up.
Hell yeah, never roll alone.
William Cosgrove needs a friend. If you didn't know, squad up's where you write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give us your username on whatever platform you're playing on. You tell us what game you need help for. We read here, and then the Kind of Funny best friends and community rally to you and help you. William Cosgrove need help. He says, need help over on Overwatch on the PC. If you want to find him on this, he is, I don't know how any of this shit works, but it's Nemesis2112 #1251 PC Gaming. William says, I'm a high silver ranked player that is stuck in the hell of trying to rise in the ranks while playing with random people who won't adapt or switch heroes to counter the enemy teams. I just want to play with some fun people, have a good time, and get the most out of my favorite game to play over the past year or more. So everybody, go find William. He is Nemesis2112, hashtag 1251, all one jumble of letters and numbers on the PC for Overwatch. Tim, are you ready for your wrong already?
Because
we got one more. We got a rotating segment if you want me to toss it in there.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. It's up to you.
You do it right now. You bust out your own.
Okay. This comes from, I'm just reading this for the first time. So
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Don't fucking editorialize.
It's a bit more editorialization, but I want to put it out there. This comes from Luke Fetner, 11. Okay. Just a little information about the first news story about the lawsuit. As a legal scholar, and that's the thing. He's not telling us we're wrong, but he's like,
okay, that's fine. This is good.
Giving us some real shit. There's little to no way this will actually reach a court or even circulate in any capacity. It's obviously more complicated. I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty here for obvious reasons, but given the circumstances, this will end in an underwhelming thud. So, cool.
Okay.
So I wasn't just talking out of my ass. I talked out of my ass, but it's
correct. Sure. I'm filling time while Tim reads through your wrong. Or will we wrong anything?
Whatever.
Trevor Starkey just trying to get his name read by cherry picking things and saying Greg didn't say the in this official title.
We don't need you guys to add information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless it's like relevant.
Sure. I'm telling you. You're done. It's done. It's fine. It's done. You can keep reading. I'll move on to the next one, all right?
Okay.
If any else, you're wrong. Rotating segment is called Who the Fuck is Buying GTA 5? If you remember yesterday, Andrea and I talked about the fact that GTA 5 still fucking selling, killing it in the UK, best-selling physical copy of a game over there for this year. We always see it on the NPD numbers. And so I asked the question, who the fuck is still buying GTA 5? Write in if you see this, and many of you did. I'm going to start with Rydog V. Rydog V says, hello, Games Daily awesome people. Just wanted to chime in regarding yesterday's conversation about GTA 5. As a seller of games and games hardware, I see GTA 5 come across my sales counter almost daily. Crazy as it sounds, the game normally still retails for $60 new, but will go on sale for $30 or $40 about once a month. What's more is GTA 5 remains a top pre-owned title as well, which obviously doesn't even count towards the official numbers. I think one of the key factors has to be the fact that it is a multi-gen title that has remained relevant with the help of online play. Believe it or not, but so many people are still just transitioning to current-gen systems, and GTA 5 is a frequent title attached with new hardware purchases. Whether they are just getting a great title, or they want to experience the exclusive features available for Xbox One and PlayStation 4, so many people repurchase the game for their new system. That, and of course, as previously stated, kids are turning 17 every day. Winky emoticon. Thanks for the great content, and keep it coming. P.S. I pre-ordered Agents of Mayhem over a month ago, so put me on the whiteboard. Okay.
Have you been following this, Tim?
No, but I mean, it's an accurate question.
Cares about Agents of Mayhem is another question.
And so what happened is Angry Dad 82 wrote in asking, like, why isn't anybody talking about Agents of Mayhem? And we're like, well, because nobody really cares about it. It looks really generic. And then I was like, if anybody cares about Agents of Mayhem, please write in. One person hit me up on Twitter and said, hey, you didn't even have the concept of the game right. And I was like, oh, very apologetic. And then the next day I had two people write in about Agents of Mayhem. One was Angry Dad again. And then the second was some other guy. So now, though, we're adding Rydog V.
Okay. This is Deep Silver?
Yeah.
Okay, Deep Silver.
Deep Silver, Volition.
You're well on your way. Sales.
And don't try to just write in now and say you care about it because you missed your chance. I asked you all week to write in if you cared about Agents of Mayhem. I'm not going to put up 30 names now because you want to see your name on the whiteboard. You missed your chance, but Rydog V didn't.
Maybe we'll get 12 more. The final thing from You're Wrong is from Vane. While Sony didn't provide an explanation in the official statement/email, they put out to many news outlets have had the following response when asked for a statement. Quote, we are changing the pricing to reflect various market conditions while enabling us to continue providing exceptional value to our members.
Excellent.
Cool. They did
a message that needs to be
on all of the things. Yeah.
Messaged to your people in your letter about why we're changing your prices and this is why.
Some additional info on the PlayStation Store's curation. Launching today, May 23rd, 2017, The Creators is an attempt by Sony to get curation on the PlayStation Store, only instead of turning to, quote, influencers, they've asked people responsible for actually making the games to do it instead.
Great idea.
The initial lineup of creators includes PlayStation boss Shuhei Yoshida, the development team behind Final Fantasy XV, Media Molecule co-founder Siobhan Reddy, and Cappy.
Oh, Cappy. One more thing on this GTA thing, because a lot of you wrote in. Thank you very much. Phil wrote in and said, hey, guys and gals, just wanted to respond to Greg's question regarding GTA 5. As a 33-year-old, I grew up with the NES, SNES, and N64 and loved games, but mostly dropped out of the gaming world when I went to college. It wasn't until I started hearing about all of the awesome games coming out in the last couple years, parentheses, and finally had a stable job with little disposable income, that I decided to get a PlayStation 4 more or less on a whim, despite never having owned a previous PlayStation. So, if you're a long-lost gamer returning to the fold looking for games to jump into, what games are going to be drawn to? For me, GTA 5 was an obvious pick, as I was familiar with the series and the hook, drive around and cause chaos, is an easy sell. Plus, it got such good reviews. So, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, I'm just as shocked as you are that it sells as well as it does consistently.
It's the consistently. Like, I get that the game's great, but the fact that, yeah, it just keeps going and never stops. Like, hey, more power to you, Rockstar.
Yeah.
Now finish fucking Red Dead. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 28th, 2017. Thank you for watching. Remember, I need you to be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Get your questions read. Somebody asked earlier if they submit a question, and I didn't read it in the thing. If they submit questions and they don't get read, should they resubmit them? Yes. It's a daily show, so every day I kind of go back through the last 24 hours of questions. Lots of times you make it to the sheet, but you don't make it into the show. Questions about the day's news often get read in the segment, so that's a pretty good way to do it. Remember, we record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You have Amazon Prime. You have Twitch Prime. Give us your free subscription, please. You can go get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where there's a Patapon Let's Play, Patapon Stream on Monday morning before the morning show as well. And then it's up on iTunes and all the other podcast services around the globe. Rate us, share us, please subscribe everywhere you can. It helps us out a lot. And Tim,
yeah,
I think that's it.
Oh, okay.
I'll see you in a little bit to record the games cast right here. Yeah. Catch on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames
3 p.m. Pacific time.
YouTube next week. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.